If you lost Survivor and you're feeling down, David and Jessica will turn it around. They'll break down the rules and they'll show you how. You played yourself and got voted out. This is why Blank lost. And this is why Blank lost. Oh baby, this is why Blank lost.
Welcome back to Why Blank Lost. I'm David Bloomberg, and I am so freaking angry that video viewers can see I couldn't even wait for my co-host Jessica Lewis to get here. I'm starting without her, because once again, the idiots on Survivor Productions spoiled the outcome of Tribal Council with that stupid, I am a potato, beware advantage quote that they showed Tori apparently finding in preview clips at the beginning of the season premiere. I talked, or perhaps yelled, about this back in our episode one podcast, and now Survivor Production continued the mistake. In the premiere, we knew Zach was getting voted out because it was between him and Tori. This week, we knew Swathi was getting voted out because it was between her and Tori. In both cases, Survivor Production ruined any suspense, despite the fact that this show often goes out of its way to create fake suspense, even late in tribal councils. Yes, I'm well aware that some people have done super deep dives into the actual voice of the person reading the clue in an attempt to determine if it really is Tori. But as I said in our earlier podcast, even if it turns out to not actually be Tori, it doesn't matter. Why would they fool us into thinking it's Tori in a way that will spoil the episode ending twice now? It makes no difference if we find out next week or whenever that it wasn't true. What mattered was that they showed it to us in the beginning of the first episode, and they led us to a correct conclusion. Even if we were tricked by a decoy edit, it was a decoy into the correct answer, and we lost the feeling of suspense while watching.
I'm so sorry.
Hold on, I'm still ranting.
What? You started already?
Yes, look, they were making me angry. Very angry.
I was busy. You can't wait for me.
I could not wait any longer. I had to get this out of my system.
I know, but we're supposed to do this together.
We'll do the rest together. You would have just sat there and listened to me rant.
Oh my gosh, and now I'm getting phone calls. It's crazy. I was crazy. Ready for this.
So let me just keep being angry here.
Can we back up? What are you complaining about now?
What do you think I'm complaining about? The stupid potato. The stupid potato.
It hasn't even happened yet.
I know. That's the problem.
You
complain about advantages after they happen. I complain about them before they happen ruin the episode.
Right. Because they spoil things.
Former player Ron Clark even commented on my TikTok, saying the fact that we were led to believe she does find it causes the issue with the vote out. The point is that putting an apparent spoiler in and having two tribal councils ruined by it is just as bad, whether it's real or later turns out to be fake. And it would have been so easy for them to simply avoid this.
I would have loved to have heard the whole rant, but you couldn't wait.
You'll just have to play it later then.
Oh, geez. Listen, I've had a night.
Well, I've had 2 days. It has been boiling up inside of me. All they had to do was show Mike finding the clue. Or if they wanted to mislead, show Daniel reading it one of the multiple times he went over it. Mm-hmm. I just think they liked that potato quote better, so they wanted to use it instead. And they didn't consider the consequences, which makes them dumb.
Ooh, all right. That was a hell of a rant that I only got the end of. But hi, ladies and gentlemen, I'm here too.
Yes, who's here to join us? It's my co-host, Jessica Lewis.
Yay, thank you so much. I was a little busy. I was just getting back from a get-together, a little function with people from my office. Someone who is very near and dear to me is leaving, unfortunately. So I have to give a shout-out to Da Bomb for being as super awesome as he is. And we celebrated him this evening. And I will say, just on a side note, there just happened to be a very excited group of Survivor fans who were at the same place that we were having the function, and they were extremely excited to see me. And so that was awesome. It was very nice.
Good.
I got to chat about Survivor, took some pictures together. It was a lovely, lovely evening. And then I got to walk into this.
Well, did hand out Why Blank Lost business cards so they know to listen to the podcast?
Well, it's funny because everybody at the get together like knew I needed to leave because I had to go do a podcast. So it kind of became like a running joke, like, oh, did you know she's famous? She has a podcast. And it was like, it was really quite funny. So
see, they should have let you go 10 minutes earlier. Then you could have caught the whole rant.
Apparently, I'll have to tell everyone, be like, listen, do you have any idea what happened? I missed the whole rant. Now I'll have to listen it at the same time that the listeners are listening to it.
That's right. That's right.
All right. So rant aside.
Yes.
We have some other things to discuss, right?
Well, yes. I guess now that you're here, it means it's time to move on to what we always do on this podcast, besides ranting. We will compare Swathi's game to the rules for winning that I originally wrote way back after season one and have been updating ever since. We'll look at all the non-spoiler information available to us from what we saw on TV, interviews, social media, and secret scenes.
Yes.
Again, I know I keep promising this, but I should have the season 42 version of the rules on the website before the next podcast, if everything goes right. Survivor 41 version already there at robhaswebsite.com/yxlostfeed. Now, as we discussed on the Survivor Academy patron podcast with Rob last week, which if you're a patron and you haven't listened to that yet, I strongly recommend you go back.
It was so fun.
If you're not a patron, well, then become a patron and then go listen to it.
Yeah.
But as we discussed there, my rule started as just a newspaper article. And since then, it's gotten just a little bit longer.
A little bit?
A little bit. Just a tiny bit.
A few pages, maybe?
A few pages like, longer. Yeah.
I don't know, like 32 maybe or something.
Yeah. It just a few pages longer.
1,541 words.
I think it's 15,000.
15,000. I can't even remember anymore. I'm like, what was the number? I see 15.
11.
Yeah, 15,000 sounds much more appropriate.
Yes, yes.
But now, still an excellent read.
Yes. Well, thank you. I know I'm sitting here going, yes, yes, yeah. as usual, we have a few things to discuss before we get to the rules, even, you know, ranting aside.
Besides the ranting.
Yes. Last week, we somehow forgot to mention Jonathan's challenge abilities in this section and didn't talk about them till later in the podcast. But we obviously have to talk about them now. He led them to two more wins in two different ways. He got credit for the reward challenge, even though it wasn't strength-based. He was coordinating everyone, and Drea even mentioned how he was leading him through. So it's not just his muscles that will draw attention at the merge, but the fact that the other tribes see him as a leader.
Well, and here's the thing, too. I just want to say, besides the fact that Jonathan is just so much fun to watch, I will also say that this idea that he wanted to like hide his strength, which we talked about previously, clearly, he's not hiding it. And Jeff certainly is not helping him hide anything, because if Jeff could have like a banner and like some pom poms, like while Jonathan is performing, I think Jeff would do that, because Jonathan's leading the charge. Jonathan single handedly pulling the boat. Jonathan is winning this challenge for his whole. I mean, it's like, dude, there's other people out there. Like, can we stop shining a light on Jonathan? We all see what's happening, but then he's really, really like pointing a finger directly at it.
I mean, when it's happening. I mean, he acted like a human speedboat engine in the immunity challenge. You know, he not only pulled the boat, but Marianne was just hanging on for dear life. Like,
he was pulling her too. Poor Marianne. She's lucky she survived that one, because it was like he really did look like he was like motorized. It was so funny.
Yeah.
Very impressive. But yeah, so I do think that Jeff's not helping him hide anything at that point.
No. Now, I know that there are many things you want to thank Jonathan for.
His calves.
And have. Yes.
His arms.
But I want to add to the list.
Biceps. 11.
So my addition to the list is that he's gotten his tribe through challenges so quickly, it freed up more time on the show to see the tribes in camp life. Without him, we'd probably have to spend like 10 more minutes on each challenge.
I know. But I also, the thing is, though, this is what I appreciate about him. Not just, I should listen. He's not just all muscle. I can appreciate the muscle. But I also, I think it's really endearing that he is so dedicated to his tribe. Mm-hmm. But he's also shouldn't really be putting it out there for the whole world to see as much as he is. But I think that's an incredible thing that he's doing. Like, he's really feeling connected to his tribe. And he's not just winning because he wants to win. He's winning because he really feels like they're a cohesive group. And I really find that incredibly impressive. But also, you know, you probably shouldn't talk about that on the mat like that. Because it's more of an issue for him later, for sure. And all of them, really.
Yeah, and I mean, the thing is, he shouldn't have done it. He realized he shouldn't have done it. Everyone else realized he shouldn't have done it. I don't know that it matters that much. I think they discussed it on Know It Alls. And it's like, when you come into a merge, is a tribe of four always going to be presumed to be a strong core? Probably. Although, in this case, quite frankly, the other two tribes are falling apart at the seams when it comes to, you know, going after each other. So.
Yeah, no. I mean, it's just one of those things where you just have to kind of, it's like perception is reality, right? And if you're just adding to the perception that we are a strong, cohesive group, then it could be problematic later.
Yeah, it's like Tony, you know, jumping around and yelling, top five, baby.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, for sure.
Now, all of this will undoubtedly come back to haunt him at the merge. And it could end up hurting some of his tribe mates because they will either lose an ally or they will get targeted to weaken him if he wins immunity. We know how that happens. Oh, we can't go after Jonathan. Let's knock off Marianne.
Exactly. You know,
let's knock off Omer. And so Lindsay saying that the others are going to keep him around because he's going to feed them is like older than old school thinking. Lindsay, if you really think that, I'm sorry, but you're deluding yourself.
Yeah, no, I definitely think that it's going to be a quick, we want to vote out Jonathan, come the merge, just because there are a significant amount of challenges that are physical based after the merge. Granted, there might be a puzzle component in there, but there are some that are just straight up physical. And how long can he keep his arms up and, you know,
above I don't know, his they're head so muscly, they may be too heavy.
I would watch.
Yeah.
I'd be like, let's see. Let's check this out. Jonathan, do you want to try? You can go against me. We'll see what happens. Yeah. I mean, I went an hour and 42 minutes. I'm just saying. Maybe. I'm just throwing it out there. Just a thing.
I'm waiting for the out of context account to just grab that quote that you just said there. So.
Anyway, Jonathan, thank you.
So, all right. So I know you hate to move on from Jonathan. But let's talk a bit about Daniel, who pretty much has the exact same body.
Of course.
Yeah.
I love Daniel for different reasons.
Yes. Yes. I agree with what Rob said on Know It Alls, that Daniel should not have tried to push off discussion of what happened at that tribal council and should have tried to make his case right away. It was like he asked for a continuance in court that gave the opposition time to put their case together better.
Yeah. No, you have to. And listen, I will say, speaking from experience, okay, that the tribal council that I came back from where David played his idol, I was like kind of swimming in my own head when we got back from tribal council and was really just like, I don't even know what to do right now. And so we got back to camp and I immediately just walked away. Mm-hmm. I just was like going over here. And then what did I hear? I heard David go, all right, we should probably talk about what happened. And I'm like, damn it. And then I went right back because I'm like, we are doing this now. No one's going to hit pause and let me take time to work this through in my own brain. The conversation is happening. And that's what happens in Survivor. You have to kind of go with the flow. And if that's what's happening, you don't get to hit pause. You don't get to say, you know what? I don't want to talk about that right now. You just can't walk away from something like that tribal council and expect them all to go, oh, okay, that's fine. We can talk about it when you're ready. No. This is not therapy. Right. This is the moment after tribal council just happened.
Right.
So,
especially when you have, I mean, we specifically said Chanel needs to get in there first, get her point of view across right. before. And he gave her the opportunity to do it.
Yes, he did. He handed it to her just like he did during Tribal when he was like, can we just like, I just want to put this out there. Do not want to go to Rocks. And then they go back to Tribal Council and he's like, you know what? I don't want to talk about this right now. And Chanel was like, I do. And we're going to. And she did.
Yeah. And, you know, there was a secret scene of the two of them talking and him trying to get her to admit that she didn't support him, which, you know, when we first watched that Tribal Council, it looked like he was throwing her under the bus. And then as other podcasts went along, there was discussion of, or was he reaching out to her, trying to get her to say, oh, yeah, I said that, but we can switch. Or, oh, no, I didn't mean that. You misunderstood.
Right.
She didn't understand that in the moment. I'm not sure I would have. Because it looked like he was throwing her under the bus.
But yeah, then, and I think in that situation, your defenses are up
right.
in that moment. And so I think that that reaction makes sense for her to feel that way in the moment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so then he still doesn't understand why she felt that way. And he's talking to her and like, you didn't support me. And it's like, yeah. I mean, Chanel admitted to him like, oh, yeah, I told you, Lydia, you know, and yes, it was my idea. But, you know, as she said, well, it's, you know, there's no, or one of them said, well, there's no one else here. So, yeah, just the two of them. She can admit to whatever she wants to admit to. Mm-hmm. And she said she had to look out for herself, which she did.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that he did more damage for himself. I was hoping that he was going to recover better when he came back, but by his one not wanting to talk about it. Mm-hmm. And then the excuses that he was trying to give, there was a lot of outward, like you did or she did. It wasn't I. Like he didn't really want to take ownership of a whole lot of things.
Right.
And when you're trying to blame other people, then you can frustrate people because you're not owning it. You're not saying, you know what? Well, this is why I did what I did. And I'm so sorry, but this is what happened. Instead, it was, I did it because of her. And this is why, and it wasn't me. And I just feel like he was just kind of digging his hole that much deeper. People that already didn't trust him are now looking at him going, God, I still don't think I can trust him because he's still blaming other people for what transpired.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. All right. Well, I feel like most of the rest of the episode was focused on the Ika tribe, which obviously we'll cover going through the rules. But do you have anything else you wanted to discuss before we do that?
I just love what transpired with the Ika tribe. Like, it's like juicy goodness.
I
don't,
but yes, I understand what you're saying. The way it happened.
Because it is like the worst like form of telephone you can possibly play. Right. And this is what was happening in the tribe. So I do think that it is definitely worth spending a significant amount of time discussing. So we can move right on to that.
Okay. Let's spend a significant amount of time discussing that. But before we move on to that, we do need to mention that the rules we're about to discuss come in a shorter and much more colorful version in poster form. Dang it. I outthought myself for which hand
you did. You really, I got it. It's right here.
Go to robhaswebsite.com/YX Lost Feed. Scroll down right there to the poster and click on it. And then you just order it. It's a miracle of the internet.
And the shipping department will get you a poster.
That's right. In addition to the poster, we also have other ways you can get the rules so you could always have them with you. There is, of course, the poster t-shirt.
Mm-hmm.
And then there is the checklist design, which comes in a t-shirt and a mug and sweatshirt and everything else. So just click on any of those links at the robhaswebsite.com/YX Lost Feed page.
There's so many things to buy.
Yes.
Buy it all.
Yes. Now we're going to take a quick break for our sponsors, and we'll be right back. We're back, so let's get back to the show. All right. Well, then we can move on to Swathi. In one exit interview, Swathi was channeling thoughts I've expressed many times when she said, I don't really feel like there's anybody responsible for my downfall but me. In general, if you go out and play Survivor, yes, there's so many factors out of your control. But in basically every situation, there are things you could have done differently. There have been people twice Swathi's age or more who didn't have that level of understanding of both themselves and the game of Survivor. Mm-hmm. So what was the situation here? What things could she have done differently? It's time to figure out why Swathi lost.
Mm-hmm.
The first and most important rule talks about the need to scheme and plot. I think Swathi certainly understood that. After all, she had her number one in the game.
Hey, David.
And her number one.
David.
And her number one.
David.
Oh, yeah. Yes. Sorry. I was listing off all the number ones.
I know. I just want you to know that you're my number one.
Okay. Well, God, I would hope so.
Yeah. Don't worry if anyone else tells you that I said that they were my number one, because I didn't mean that.
No, obviously that would be a fake. You know.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. You're my number one.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah. Yes. Wait, hold on. I'm getting a call from David Wright.
It's fine. Whatever. Listen. It's okay. You don't need to listen.
I'm getting a call from Ken.
No. Listen. No. It's you. You're my number one. Okay.
Okay. Okay. All right. Now, we'll, of course, talk about Swathi's multiple number ones, unlike you, in the second rule. But the point is, she was definitely playing and making alliances.
Yes.
She told Rob that she was very close with Rox, right? And much like you, she was very close with Rox and was initially close with Tori as well.
Really? You had to go there. God.
I mean, we should have taken a bet on how many Rox jokes there would be.
I know.
Be made,
there's
you know.
So many Rox jokes. Yes. Isn't it funny? Ha, ha, ha.
What happens when you know
when a rock costs you $1 million? Yeah, okay, yeah. It's so funny. Jeez, remember to laugh next time. Anyway,
all right. Anyway, I guess as your number one, I shouldn't have hit so close to home.
Yeah, now. Right. Maybe you're my number two.
No,
that doesn't sound good either.
I thought that had double meaning actually. So yes. Now an important note is that she did not feel particularly close with Romeo or Drea.
Mm-hmm.
That's a tribe with only 5 people left. Literally half of the other players besides herself, she didn't feel close to.
Right. And I really think this whole, like, you're my number one could work.
Oh, definitely. It has worked in the past.
Right. If you are one. Not in such a small group, right? Like, I mean, such a small group of people, I feel like someone's going to say something, right? So that's the first problem with telling too many people you are my number one. But the other component of it is there was no reason for them not to compare notes, right? Like, it wasn't like anybody had formed such an incredible bond with her. I mean, maybe she said Rox, right? And she were close, but it didn't really appear that way. But there isn't a reason for people not to compare notes if there's anything like something stopping them. Right. And if you are, in addition to telling everybody the same lie and then trying to throw other people under the bus, then immediately there's going to be some pushback. Like if you want to play the you're my number one, well, then you better be so nice to everybody that they do not want to start comparing notes. Like you can't give them a reason to want to focus on you, which is exactly what she did.
Yeah. I mean, she said in her Entertainment Weekly interview that it was always her strategy to make different people think they were her trusted ally.
Mm-hmm.
She said, quote, "I was thinking that one-on-one alliances were the best way to go. And I didn't really anticipate that there would be this sort of a conversation or really even this sort of blowback. It just seemed to me like such a common strategy. Why would people be upset?" And yeah, you've already, you know, brought this up. We've talked about this before, and it's in the rules with the web type of strategy, which we originally saw with Brian Heidick in Thailand shortly after Swathi was born. By the way, the shirt that I'm wearing might be older than Swathi. just saying.
That's crazy.
But yeah, you know, he had pacts with 3 different people, each of whom thought they were the number one.
Mm-hmm.
The rule notes. This was a risky maneuver because if any of them had talked about Brian, he might have been found out. And guess what happened to Swathi? So I think we can use this to break. This is where rule one and rule two kind of overlap quite a lot in this case. So let's just use this as a bridge to move into the second
bridge.
Rule. Yes. And the second rule, of course, says don't scheme and plot too much and keep your scheming secret.
Right.
So it's natural to continue the discussion of all her number ones, because that really did seem to be a big factor in people turning on her. But what's interesting to me is that she said in interviews that she thought most or all of her saying that was in response to other people saying it to her, even though she knew they were lying to her. So, for example, she said, Romeo had been telling me I was his number one from day one, even though it was very apparent that he and Drea were working together. So what's good for the goose apparently isn't good for the gander.
Yeah, but I also feel like it might be the way that you express it to that person. And we did see the clips of her literally using the same terminology. Oh, yeah. You know, you are my number one. And is that what Romeo was saying to her, that you are my number one? Or did he say to her, oh, boy, you're someone I feel like I can trust the most out here?
I mean, you know, yeah, we weren't there. What she said in interviews was they literally said, you're my number one. And she responded, you're my
number one. And so that's what I'm curious about, because I feel like the terminology can really be the deciding factor here. Is that really the language they're using, or was that the language she was using? Right. And I think that that can make a difference, because I could say to one person, I feel like I can trust you the most, and then say to somebody else, but you're my number one. And they can mean completely different things. And so I'm curious what those actual conversations were. And I'm hoping that we can get a little more insight into that when maybe Romeo goes home. Maybe he'll talk about that too. Who knows? But I do think that language is very significant when you are having those conversations and how you are phrasing it, because saying you are someone's number one, that's like way up there, right?
Oh, yeah.
And if one other person finds out you said it to them too, well, then all of a sudden you're like, wait a second. And I feel like it's not necessary at this point with such a small tribe to feel like you need to have so many options. You just need to have one person who's definitely with you, and then maybe a second who's also going to, you know, help you with the numbers. But you start out with a tribe of six. You don't need to be everybody's number one, because it's a tribe of six.
Although I think Romeo is, but yeah. You know, now here's the thing with all of these, this number one talk, as amusing as the clips were, I don't really think it was the heart of the problem. But rather, it was something easy to point to once people got suspicious of her.
Right.
So we have to go back to what caused that suspicion, which Swathi herself laid out in interviews. She told Rob that it was her fault for giving Tori so much information. Specifically, she shouldn't have told Tori that she was on the bottom.
Yes.
After all, telling someone they're on the bottom is what causes them to scramble, which is why we always advise against such things.
Yes.
Even if you think you're aligned with them, people will push anyone else out in front of that bus if it means saving themselves, as Zach found out with Tori in the first vote when he also told her information that people were being critical of her.
Right. So, and this is what I talked about before, where if you want to be everyone's number one, you can't then be throwing shade and like telling people things, because then that's going to have a pushback or throwback on you. People are going to start looking at things that you're doing. And so, it's like Swathi wanted to have, like, she wanted to be able to do both. Like, I'm going to be close to everyone, and then I'm going to tell Tori some stuff I probably shouldn't tell her, which she acknowledged wholeheartedly in her exit interviews that she shouldn't have done that. And so, yeah, I mean, you can, lesson learned, but obviously, you know, she's out of the game and Tori's
Yeah. Hey, number one, I'm going to tell you what my other two number one said about you, number one, you know?
Right. Exactly. Yeah. So then it's like, who is actually, like, whose back do you actually have at that point when you're just throwing everybody under the bus?
Right. So once Tori had that information and spread it around, people started looking at Swathi differently. And, you know, we've talked before fairly often about how players will view certain types of people a certain way. They will often get mad at mom figures when they backstab, for example. Here, it looks like we had a similar situation, because Swathi told Rob that others just didn't see her as a schemer. So it was one thing when Tori was going around revealing secrets, or Romeo was telling lies about who his number one was. But Swathi was apparently supposed to be the innocent young girl. And when it came out that she was playing and playing hard, that hit differently to the other people.
Yeah, that's unfortunate. I really think that's unfortunate.
And, you know, she acknowledged that the best thing to do would have been to play into her role, I guess, yes. her perceived role. She told Entertainment Weekly, "I think I would have just played a little bit more passively for the first few days. I felt very like I'm 19 and everybody's telling me what to do. And I hate that literally everybody on this tribe thinks that they can just tell me what to do. But I think I could have also just bit my tongue and not necessarily tried to make that big a move that early on."
Yeah.
And well, yeah, you know, because instead you had a situation where Drea revealed the extra vote, attempted to start a women's alliance. Mm-hmm. Swathi immediately reacted with the idea of targeting Drea.
Right.
And that seemed to be what she was doing, just moving reactively. And,
yes.
You know, I put that in my notes, reactively. And then I read the interviews and she told Mike Bloom, "Coming in, I was very reactive."
Mm-hmm.
And generally a thing that I've been trying to work on in my life is rather than just immediately reacting to things people do or say, just taking a moment and really thinking about, okay, what's the best way to respond to this?
Right.
And we definitely saw that out there.
Yeah. And I do think that the age is what was part of the issue for her in that regard. I think there's something to be said about life experience and having an ability to not necessarily react.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, as a parent, I think we can both agree that you kind of learn there are times to react and then there are times to not react. And
there are times when you want to punish them, but what they did is so hysterical that you have to leave the room so you can laugh.
Exactly.
So that you can still pretend to be mad at them later.
Yes. See, so this is what happens.
Ah, crud.
When you...
My son listens to this podcast. He now knows.
He's on to you now.
Oh,
he's
no.
on to you. And I'm still your number one. So, yes. you know, yes. just saying. But I do feel like that's one of those components with playing this game when you are older, because you have had so many more experiences, and someone like Swathi came in and I think she was very excited to play the game. And we've talked a lot about mm-hmm. big moves and how people feel like they need to really like make a resume for themselves quickly. And because the game is so much shorter, they got to play faster and all this stuff. And no, because this is what happens when
right.
you don't let it happen kind of naturally, and you don't lean into your what is expected of you in the role that people perceive you as on your tribe. Sometimes you do have to let certain components of yourself just go, and it sucks and it's terrible because you just want to yell at everybody and be like, "What are you doing?" But you can't do that because you're playing a game for $1 million.
That's right.
So
if you want to yell at everybody, you have to get a podcast, and
right.
then you can just yell all
you can
want.
Rant for apparently like 2 minutes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. The third rule tells players to be flexible. And we just spent a lot of time talking about Swathi being perhaps a little too flexible in terms
yes.
of how she was both making alliances and being reactive. But on the flip side, she told Mike Bloom she came in, quote, obsessed with controlling everything about the environment around me.
Mm.
In other words, not exactly flexible.
No.
You know, she added that can be really good at some point if you have a sense of what's going on or what's going around you and how much you can influence it. I was just doing a little bit too much to try and manipulate the other relationships around me.
Yeah. And sometimes it's just not necessary.
Right.
I think this tribe is a perfect example of if you had just left things alone, things would have been so much different on this tribe. But I think the people that we've seen that have been voted out thus mm-hmm. far, they really
both
did.
Tried to save Tori. Yes.
But you know what I mean? Like, yeah. what? Just let it happen. Like, just let it be, because then it's not going to be you. And then all of a sudden, like, you're trying to shift the game. You're trying to change things. You want to make things happen.
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden, now you find yourself being the target at tribal council. And so I do think that that was a huge issue for her, was this idea that I need to make things happen and I need to do this, when she didn't really have to. Nobody
yeah.
had any issues with her
right.
until she started creating them by having this reaction that she did and creating these narratives with people that she didn't need to create. You can build trust and form a bond without saying to someone, "You're my number one," you know?
But. Yeah. Yeah. You know, and especially trying to grab control like she did this early mm-hmm. in the game, it's
yeah.
just very dangerous. Even more so when you're 19 and everyone else is older, some significantly so.
Yeah.
Well, although we did hear from Zach that she lied about her age and said she was 20 versus
Ooh.
19, at which point in the interview he laughed and added, which, you know, is a world of difference.
Oh, of course.
You know, I mean, yeah.
A year. So much experience.
All right. Now, the fourth rule tells players not to let their emotions control them. Did you see anything to indicate Swathi was operating on emotions other than, you know, kind of what you've already said?
No, I mean, I think she really was. It was kind of like, I'm going to say this is not going to be the correct term, but it was like almost a game bot kind of thing where she was like, I want to play this game and I need to do these things to play this game. And so I don't think there was an emotional component to it. I think it was more like, I have this plan and I'm going to come into the game and I'm going to do this plan and I'm going to make this happen instead of just allowing things to happen. And so I do think that it was more of just a desire to play the game as opposed to letting her emotions make decisions for her.
Yeah, I agree. We already discussed how she was reacting a lot, but I don't think it was an emotional reaction.
Right.
Just she kept having new ideas and plans pop up. So, you know, So we can move to the fifth rule, which is about the social game and reminds players they need to pretend to be nice. As with the fourth rule, I don't think she did anything particularly bad in her social game. Do you?
No. And that's the thing that I'm fascinated that we're talking about her so soon, because she really did in her pregame come across as someone who would be likable. And I feel like she definitely appeared to be very likable when she was with her tribe. And I'm curious if maybe that's why it offended them so much more when they found out she was doing these things, because right. they're like, well, damn it. She was really nice to me. And it stings a little bit more and you're like, that hurt, because you feel like you have a connection with this person and you found out you're being played, kind of like catfishing everybody, you know? So that's so you know what I mean? Like, so I just, I'm curious.
She was actually a 55-year-old man.
You know, so I just feel like maybe it was because she was just so good socially that then people were that much more affected.
Right. Yeah, I agree. And I also want to bring up her age here again, because I do think that played into how people reacted to her. Mm-hmm. She said in interviews that it's funny that we were just making fun of the whole 1 year difference, because she said in interviews that if she had even one more year of life experience, it would have made it easier to relate to people and understand where they were coming from with certain things.
Yeah.
I don't think that's necessarily the difference between 19 and 20. I think it's the difference between out of school or, you know, just on your own a little bit more. But this goes along almost exactly with our discussion of her in the preview. We talked about what could be her skewed perspective on the world. I said she believes she's pretty good at persuading people to act in her best interest and not theirs. But then the first example she gave was writing recommendation letters. And I don't see how it takes a lot of convincing to get those, or how it goes against someone else's best interest to write them. Same with having high attendance at the event she's put on, unless her events have sucked. I don't see why it's not in someone's interest to go. So I worry that we have another case of a younger person who thinks they've lived a lot more than they actually have.
Yes.
And she is going to find that Survivor is not like the life she's lived. And that's exactly what we found out. You know, we may not be great at predictions, but occasionally.
Here we go. David, you're right. No, I do agree, because I do think that she has lived a full life for sure with the things that she has experienced as a 19-year-old. But that all comes with also still being a 19-year-old. And so there are certain things that, while you might have accomplished this or you might have completed that, there's a lot of other components to life that you just haven't experienced yet. And to come into the game thinking that those things that she referenced are at a level that is equal to, say, someone who has had a career in a very like difficult, type of profession for 20 years and the stress that they've been under and having to deal with the components of that particular profession. There's a huge difference there. There's a huge difference there. And I do feel like that it could potentially be insulting to someone who's like, I've lived such a full life and this 19-year-old is trying to tell me what to do. Like, and again, I don't know if that's what Roxroy was feeling. I don't know if that's what Tori was feeling, but I do think that that is a definite risk that you take if that's the approach that you go into this game with when you are a 19-year-old.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, definitely, you know, I mean, I think, many people who are, what did Evie say in their later days, have experienced it at work. You know, I have definitely had instances where people, not those who work for me, but who work with me in one way or another, you know, and they're practically new and they're telling me how things
yes.
are. And it's like,
oh, yes.
I've been doing this job or a variant of it for the last 3 decades. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, you know, 2 levels higher than you. I think I might have more experience in this area than you do. So please stop telling me. And that, of course, is how I always tell them, very gently, just like that.
Of course you do.
You know, I would never rant at anybody.
It's not to say that a 19-year-old can't walk in and have ideas and thoughts, but it's all about the way that it is presented to the people who you are with.
And experience and knowledge. You can't just say, this is the way, and I've had people do, this is the way it should be done. You've never done this before. You don't know that this is the way it should be done. And even, you know, forget about those sorts of things. I've seen it in, you know, my own kids. Just you go from college to the working world. Things are different. Mm-hmm. You are out there. You have an apartment. You're living on your own. You're paying your bills. You have to figure out your insurance. You have to figure out your taxes. You have to do all these things. And it's a lot different than someone like Roxroy, who has kids already, or someone like Romeo, who's been out in the real world for, you know, a decade or more. And so it's just that experience difference.
Sure. Now, I played with an 18-year-old, and I will say that one of the things that was so impressive about Will was he owned the fact that he was 18. Mm-hmm. And I feel like he did lean into it. He didn't shy away from the fact that he was the youngest one out there. And I think he,
although he had the deepest voice out there,
he really did. It was crazy. The first time I heard him talk, I was like, what is happening? But I think that he approached it in a way that worked for him, because it was, this is who I am. And this is what I've accomplished so far in my life. And it was also like he wanted to learn from the people that he was playing the game with, like, what do you do? And really, like, he was very good at having conversations with people. And I think learning about the people that were around him, and then also trying to integrate that into his game. So, again, you can play this game as an 18-year-old, as a 19-year-old, as a 20-year-old, and do phenomenally well at it. But it's what you have already said. If you are perceived in a certain way, you might just have to lean into it.
Right.
Because there are expectations that come with being this certain type of person, or this age, or, you know, this profession, whatever it might be. And you know what? You just can't escape it. So just lean into it.
Right. Yeah. And now, most of what we talked about, I really don't think necessarily contributed to her loss, except that she was trying to control things.
Yes.
You know, and that, I mean, I don't think she lost because she was 19.
Right. You know,
but I do think a 19-year-old trying to control things is viewed differently.
Yes. 100%. 100%.
So, all right. Well, we can move into the 6th rule, which talks about, warns against being too much of a threat. I agree with Roxroy, who said the biggest threat is Tori. She can't keep a secret. She can't be trusted. Drea said similar things, but I can also see how the other players felt differently, because everyone already knows Tori is a snake.
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Swathi was doing a better job of camouflaging herself until this episode. And again, I bring it back to what we were talking about. The same thing with moms on Survivor. If you're seen as being this nice person who isn't schemey, and then your tribe mates discover that you're over there plotting, it's worse than if they see an obviously devious person being obviously devious.
Right.
You know,
it's like that keep your enemies close kind of thing.
Right.
You're like, okay, we know what Tori's about. We're going to let Tori hang out.
Right.
But Swathi, where did you come from? What happened? Yeah.
Yeah. You know, I mean, in this case, it was kind of the opposite end of the age spectrum compared to the mom situation with the young person situation instead. But the effect was the same. If you're seen as concealing your true nature, that makes you more of a threat than an obvious liar.
Yes, because then they start to question everything that you've ever said to them.
Mm-hmm. Like, you're my number one.
Right. Can we really trust this person? Yeah. But if you are someone that they've already come to know to be a little more devious and and a little more, like you said, a snake, then yeah, that person almost gets a pass.
Yeah. Especially like when you're approaching the merge.
Yeah.
Okay. We know we have to keep our eye on Tori.
Mm-hmm.
But if Swati is going over to other people and saying they're her number ones now, you know, and you didn't see it coming.
Right. Yeah.
So, all right, we can move to the seventh rule, which covers idols and advantages, including how to handle and deal with them.
Do you want to talk about potatoes again?
Yeah, we know that hasn't been found yet by the Ika tribe. So Swati didn't have any opportunity to interact with anything like that. And we already discussed how she shouldn't have reacted the way she did to Drea's news about having the extra vote. But she did correctly go for the shot in the dark, which showed she understood what was going on with her tribe as they headed to the vote. It didn't end up helping her because the 16.7% chance didn't pan out.
I just want to see it work already.
I know, I know. And I really wanted to see it work that time. Mm-hmm. But at least she has the warm and fuzzy feeling of knowing that we recognize that she made the right call in going for it because she had a good read on the flip against her.
Good job, Swati. You got it.
So I'm sure that pretty much makes up for it not working.
Oh, of course. It totally makes up for being, you know, snuffed out of a game for $1 million. Yeah, absolutely.
Sure.
Yeah.
All right. We could go to Appendix A, which is about the tribe keeping their end goals in mind when voting. And we talk, of course, about voting out the weak, then the strong, then the weak, then the strong. I didn't notice anything in particular indicating that Swati or Tori was viewed as being weaker in challenges than the other. I don't think that aspect really came into play.
No, and I think that at this point, they've all kind of accepted the fact that they'll never beat Jonathan, so it doesn't really matter.
Yeah, your best hope is to come in second. Yeah. You know, I mean, and that's really what it's been, because we talked about before, or you know, that Ika just barely beat Vati for second place several other times, and this time they just barely, like by seconds, lost to them. So yeah, you've got Jonathan and his tribe over there, they're just doing whatever they're doing, and then the other two are like fighting it out,
which is Taku, by the way. I was calling him Taki because I'm obsessed with Takis right now. Yeah, on Twitter, Taku. I was like, Taki, he's Taki tribe. But I was like, wait, no, that's what I like to eat. That's not the tribe name. It's Taku. So anyway.
Close enough.
There's too many. Can we just go with colors again?
No, that's why I just call it Jonathan's tribe. but even aside from challenges, we have to remember that weak and strong can have different meanings. And one of them deals with tribe cohesiveness. This was a big point of emphasis in tribal council and even in the title of the episode, because the Ika tribe just wasn't, quote unquote, vibing. From what I've seen, I personally think Tori is a bigger part of that, but the tribe felt differently, especially after realizing that Swati was actually playing the game and not just being their little sister.
Yeah. And I think it's interesting that it's like they're just all like hating on each other, but they're like having to come together because of it. They're like, well, she said that, and then that one said this, and they did that, and like everybody's like talking about each other, and then they're like, well, I guess we should probably all hang out then, because we're all like, it's just, it's fascinating to me to have seen how like, oh, you want to vote me out, well, I want to vote her out, and I wanted to vote it was incredible just to watch that all unfold. And then we have this group that's come together, and they're like, well, I guess that's what we got to settle with.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, Swati told Gordon Holmes that she thinks the others voted for her in part because they felt she was dividing the tribe. I guess that's possible. I didn't really see it myself. Maybe they were referring to the fact that she was close to Roxroy, and technically she did divide the tribe because he voted Tory, such that it was the first non-unanimous vote that we've seen so far. But it still seems like a stretch to me.
Yeah, I agree.
Now we're going to take a quick break for our sponsors, and we'll be right back. We're back, so let's get back to the show. All right, so with all that, it is about time to wrap things up. What are your final thoughts, number one?
Aw, thank you, number one. So I will say this. I do think that something that Swathi said in her exit press is worth mentioning. She said, I think trying to dictate everything around you is a very negative way to play. And I think more than anything...
Hey, no reading my conclusion. No.
Oh, isn't that too bad, number one?
I'm not going to let you go first anymore.
So I think that more than anything is what led to me being voted out. So I really do feel like we did not anticipate having to speak about Swathi so soon, because there is a component of her that comes across through her initial press that we saw in her interviews. She really did seem to be an impressive 19-year-old and someone who seemed very likable, and that she would be someone who could get along with everyone in her tribe. But I do think that she came in as a player. Like, she wanted to really get in there and oh my God, I'm playing Survivor. Like, I have to do this. And she did it in almost a quiet fashion, which I am impressed with. Like, it wasn't out there and it wasn't grandiose, but it was enough that it made people go, I don't know if we can really continue to play this game with her, because she is already playing so hard, so well, so soon. And so I do think that the people that she was playing with were like, you know what? We don't want to risk it with Swathi, because she has convinced all of us of basically the same exact thing. And she did it really well. And the only reason we figured it out was because she pushed a little too hard and got Tori frustrated, and Tori started talking. Mm-hmm. If she had never said that to Tori, we probably wouldn't be talking about Swathi, because I think everybody would have kept their notes in check and not compared. Right. But because Tori decided to then say, well, now it's my turn to throw Swathi under the bus, then everybody started going, wait a second, she said that to you too, and she said that to me too. So I think that Swathi really did kind of create her own demise by playing the game too quickly out of the gate. Like, she should have just kind of sat back and let the natural flow of things happen. People are not getting along with Tori. Let that happen. Fuel that fire a little bit if you can. Fan it. Make it bigger. But you don't need to. Right, exactly. But you don't need to throw yourself under the bus in the process. Yeah. So too bad for Swathi, because I do think that we could have seen more incredible things as a Survivor player from her, but she needed just to hone it in a little bit, like not be so aggressive and so desirous of playing the game as so many people want to. But again, we talked about life experience. Maybe if she was a little bit older, she would have been a little bit more careful in the mechanisms by which she was playing the game, but she wasn't. She's 19 and she realizes what she did wrong. And I have to agree with her. I think that's exactly what happened.
Yeah. Swathi has gotten some chiding for messing up her final words about one of the Robs going out fourth and then winning on an all-star season. But following up on that general idea, I actually would be interested to see her play again in a few years.
Mm.
As she said, she's changed a lot in just 1 year. So I think she could come back and play an interesting game. I don't know that we'll get to see it, but I hope production keeps her in mind, because she knows what she did wrong and seems to understand how to fix it. Indeed, as I said at the beginning of our rules discussion, Swathi fully understood that her own actions led to getting voted out, and she acknowledged the times where she could have made decisions leading to a better outcome. You already brought up the quote about trying to dictate everything being a negative way to play, and she added, you know, I think that more than anything is what led to me being voted out. But that's really only part of the story. Roxroy has been very vocally trying to dictate everything. He's still there. Romeo and Drea have been dictating strategy as well. They're still there. The bigger problem was that Swathi needed to recognize how the others in the tribe saw her and play into it. As she said in interviews, she needed to lie low a bit longer and not scheme so much. She already had Roxroy on her side just from a social perspective. She needed to find a way to do something similar with Romeo and or Drea. Instead, she was trying to control the game, which is a difficult task to accomplish for anyone, let alone a 19-year-old.
Mm-hmm.
Swathi was seen as being the nice young girl, so it was surprising to the others when they compared notes and found out she's actually playing the game hard.
Mm-hmm.
Having someone who'd been camouflaged suddenly getting a light shown on them was seen as worse than an obvious snake. She wanted to be their number one, but instead was voted out in large part by violating rule number two.
Mm.
And that is why Swathi lost.
Look at that.
All right. Well, before we get to our predictions, which I almost forgot that we had to do.
We should totally forget.
Let me remind everyone that the rules we just discussed are available in both poster and t-shirt and mug and sweatshirt form. Again, just go to robhaswebsite.com/yxlostfeed and scroll on down.
You should definitely buy everything.
Yes. So, predictions.
Okay.
I'm really not sure what to predict at this point.
I don't know either.
I will predict
to not predict.
No. You could just say, I predict I will be wrong, I guess. But
I definitely will be wrong.
I will certainly continue to say that Taku will not go to tribal council before
the
merge.
I agree with that prediction.
Okay. Yeah.
Jonathan.
I really do feel like Ika will lose again.
Yeah.
If they do, Tori would seem to be the obvious boot.
Unless she finds the potato thing.
Yes, we have to go back to my opening rant, and she hasn't found it
yet. Oh, I'm sorry. Wait.
Oh, you're hiding because you
I wasn't here for that,
rant?
Remember?
Yes. Yes. Now, it's still possible she finds it. I mean, I acknowledged at the beginning it could be an editing trick, still mad even if it is. So,
mm-hmm.
But if she does find it before the immunity challenge and reads out the potato quote, I'm still not sure that Mike will say anything. He could want to continue to keep it secret from the other tribes.
Mm.
And he's not in a bad position right now in his own tribe.
Right.
Or
now, wait, question.
Okay.
If he doesn't read it, let's mm-hmm. say the other two do. What happens when they get to the merge?
Automatically, all of them have idols.
So then what would be the reason for him to say anything?
If he wanted the idol, if he wanted his vote back or he wants the idol active now. So if he felt he was on the outs, then it would make sense to do it now.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think he feels like he's on the outs right now.
Right.
But so
the vote thing is interesting.
Yes. The other possibility is she could find it after the challenge. You know, let's say she realizes she's on the bottom. She has no more people to throw under the bus. She goes out on a big idol hunt, finds it, can't activate it before tribal council.
Mm, right. Interesting. So you're going with Tori?
So, well, or like I said, I do want to say it could be a trick and we finally find out that they just ruined two tribal councils for no reason.
Mm-hmm.
The other possibility is that Vati does lose. Like we said,
of
it's
course.
Just been a matter of seconds. We saw Hai talking in the preview about Daniel being a threat who needs to be targeted, which pretty well means Daniel is safe due to Hibiki's law. Mm-hmm. But if not Daniel, who? So with that in mind, I don't think so. I think she's in better than Daniel is.
But you just said it couldn't be Daniel because of Hibiki's law.
Which is why I think I have to dig in my heels and just predict Ika will lose and Tori will go, as crazy as that sounds.
Yeah. You know, we have been seeing a lot of Tori content, so I do feel like there's got to be a reason for that. Either she makes it all the way to the end, or because she really does seem to be.
I mean, she's been the target every time that Ika has gone. So,
right. I don't know. I'm just, oh, Lord, I hate this.
No, Jeff.
Hmm?
No, Jeff. You said Lord, no, Jeff.
I don't like any of the options. I really don't. You know what? Just to be different, I'm just going to say Roxroy. Why not? I'm just going to say Roxroy because I'll be wrong anyway.
You're going with Rox. Okay.
Yeah.
You just want revenge on the Rox.
I got to do something.
Yeah.
Like, what else am I supposed to do?
Right. All right.
I can't always agree with you.
So far, I don't think you have. Well, maybe you did the first week.
I think I might have.
Yeah. But
because you are my number one. So.
Yes. Yes. All right. Well, as we wrap up, I want to encourage people to check out the RHAP patron program at robhasawebsite.com/patron. Or, of course, robhasawebsite.com/YXLostFeed. It's the beginning of April, and you get access to everything. And now, so now is the good time to join because you get the whole month. There's the weekly Survivor Academy podcast. Again, if you're not a patron already, join. Go listen to ours from last week. Mm-hmm. Patron 5 for 5 and more. And when Rob isn't talking directly to everyone, there are the Facebook groups and Discord to keep you occupied with a great community of people, including both of us, where you could talk about Survivor, Big Brother, life in general. So support shows like ours and everything on the network by becoming a patron at robhasawebsite.com/patron. Or again, just click on the link at robhasawebsite.com/YXLostFeed. And once yes. you get to the Facebook groups, make sure to say hello.
Please do. And you should also say hello to us on Twitter. I am at JessicaLewis89 and he is at David Bloomberg. You should definitely follow us both for all of the incredible content. Mine's very heavy on the Wordle currently, but we do live tweet.
Wordle Jonathan.
I can't handle it. It's just two things I really like. So you should definitely follow us both. We do live tweet during the episodes and we tweet obviously throughout the week as well, but I am again at JessicaLewis89. He is at David Bloomberg.
And yes. I wanted to say, I also live tweeted a little bit of Beyond the Edge, that Ooh. Horrible celebrities in the jungle
yeah,
show.
It's
and Paulina great. Poroskova got very mad at me. And she responded when I said something about, oh, looks like someone, you know, Jody might drown or whatever her name is. But I'm sure she'll be fine by the after the commercial. And Paulina wrote back, I'm sorry we all lived. You know, it's
just, oh my God, quit. Listen, you and your anger.
It's not me.
Setting people.
Not me. She was the one with a little defensive there about her show.
Well, yeah. So, well, listen, you should still follow us on Twitter.
Yes,
and you should also,
that.
You know, look for David Bloomberg TikToks because there's yes. quite a few of them out there. I think there's like 3 a day sometimes. There's so
yes,
much
sometimes.
David Bloomberg content on my TikTok feed. But it is very enjoyable. For
yes.
sure.
Now it's down to 1 or 2 a day. I try to do 2, but there just aren't as many shows. Beyond the Edge isn't interesting enough to usually get more than one out of.
I told you, you need to do a dancing one.
So I am at David_Bloomberg. And you should go follow me on TikTok.
And don't you all want to see David Bloomberg dance?
No. If by next week I have 2,000 subscribers on TikTok, I will dance.
How many do you have right now?
Like 1,200. So
that's a big jump up.
I know. Why do you think I said that?
I'm going to work on that.
Yeah. Okay.
Tell everybody to follow you.
Okay. That's fine. Everyone should also make sure you're subscribed to all of the RHAP Survivor podcasts by, again, going to our YX Lost feed. You'll find great content like the Know-It-Alls, the Stock Watch, Survivor International, the B&B, and much more.
Oh, am I ready
Sorry,
to
I
say?
I kind of just ended abruptly there. That was like,
hey. So I'm gonna thank some people now.
Yes.
And I'm going to thank Scott St. Pierre for all of the editing that he does, not only for the Why Blank Lost podcast, but all of the podcasts on RHAP. So thank you so much, Scott, for the incredible work that you do. And also thank you to Will from America for the incredible theme song that you have created for Why Blank Lost. It's super duper catchy and we love it. So thank you for that.
Yes.
And David Bloomberg, thank you for
being
ranting.
Your number one.
Oh. Yes, for being my number one. Absolutely. And I guess the rant was maybe enjoyable. I heard some of it, but thank you so much for allowing me to join you on your rant and this episode of Why Blank Lost.
Yes. Well, and thank you. And next time, you know, if you want to hear the whole thing, well, I mean, first of all, you can listen. But if you want to be there live for it, just don't go to so many parties. You
okay,
know, you're just
maybe you should just wait for me next time. Okay.
I was afraid you were out there telling other people you were their number one. So.
Don't listen to anyone else that tells
okay.
you that.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you once again. And listeners, viewers, we will see you right back here again in a week. Bye.
Bye.
and you're feeling down. David and Jessica will turn it around. They'll break down the rules and they'll show you how. You played yourself and got voted out. This is why Blank lost. And this is why Blank lost. Oh, baby, this is why Blank lost.
Life's better with American Family Insurance because our home policies help protect your dreams and come with peace of mind. Save up to 25% by bundling home, auto, and life. American Family Insurance. Get a quote, find an agent at amfam.com.
Products not available in every state. Discounts may not apply to all coverages on an auto or home policy. Discounts do not apply to life insurance policies. Visit AmFam.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating companies, American Family Life Insurance Company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
Grand Canyon University, an affordable private Christian university, is one of the largest and fastest growing universities in the country, offering more than 270 programs online. In addition to federal grants and aid, GCU's online students received nearly $130 million in institutional scholarships in 2022. Find your purpose at Grand Canyon University. Private, Christian, affordable. Visit gcu.edu/myoffer to see the scholarships you may qualify for.